Gustavo Jimeno, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here.
And it's not too late to say Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thank you.
Lots to look forward to in 2024 as the TSO season progresses. What are you looking forward to?
I must admit, I look forward to every single week I do here, but some things come to my mind, like having back Franz Peter Zimmermann, violinist after many years playing the Brahms Concerto, doing the Concerto for Orchestra by Lutoslavsky, a great piece which the orchestra hasn't played in many years as well, and the orchestra, they told me about many other pieces, but one of them was Lutoslavsky Concerto for Orchestra. It would be great to play this. But also working with one of our spotlight artists this season, Emily D'Angelo, which has been in my plans for years. Yes, a whole Italian program without soloists, so featuring only our own orchestra, and that gave us also a possibility of building up a program around the concept of Italy and Italian music from different perspectives. Now, since I'm talking, comes to my mind, of course, doing Pulcinella, complete Pulcinella. Was the last concert of Stravinsky conducting was Pulcinella Suite in Toronto. It's history for our orchestra. Many plans, which I'm very much looking forward to.
I did not know that fact about Stravinsky. That's incredible.
And we are going to record it even.
Oh.
So there are some new recording plans ahead, yes.
Well, you've just performed Brahms' first piano concerto with Daniil Trifonov. Phenomenal artist. What is it like collaborating with him?
It's a, well, indeed, phenomenal artist, a unique, strong personality. He's very creative. Every concert, he might come up with different ideas. I mean, of course, a great musician who is also very intelligent. And we have collaborated already several times, never in Toronto together. We had been years waiting for this occasion. You know, in the beginning of the season, I also worked with James Ennis here in Toronto, but that was our first time together. So that's something which is happening lately sometimes, that I do know there are artists who have been in Toronto, but also we have worked together, but never here. That's always a special occasion to meet here. So it's a nice moment in which we realize we have just many friends and many collaborators and great artists. That makes our life very interesting, enriching for us and for the patrons of the TSO.
You mentioned the upcoming concert, Pines of Rome, an all-Italian program. No soloists, orchestra is the feature, and it's quite a span of composers from Verdi to Respighi, who obviously wrote Pines of Rome, also Nino Rota and Luciano Berio. Tell us about the inspiration behind this program.
Well, you know, all programs start with a first something, a first step, an idea, a piece, a soloist, and then it starts to take shape. In this case, from conversations, whether with people who have been working in the artistic administration for many years or from musicians, one realizes Pini di Roma is a really very popular piece. Audiences love it. People come to the concerts when you play Pini di Roma. It's indeed a wonderful composition. But at a certain point, talking to the musicians, they also were saying, you know, there are other compositions by Respighi, which we never get to play, and we would love it. And we said, yeah, let's do Feste Romane, which I remember it from my childhood, but then opens up the, you know, Italian music. Of course, Verdi is a wonderful composer. Let's bring something of Verdi, but also Nino Rota. I, myself, a big fan of Nino Rota's music. I also love the Italian cinema. Since we are here bringing different perspectives of what Italian music is and how all relates and how contrasting it is, why not also to have Luciano Berio? So we realize, who knows, this is probably the very first time the orchestra is going to play four pieces by Luciano Berio. So anyway, it started with Pini di Roma, but also trying, let's take a piece which we know the audience loves, and let's open up our minds and let's be creative and let's bring into play beautiful music, some lesser known, lesser played, and it's going to be all together, I think, a really, really very enjoyable evening for players and for the audience, I'm sure.
And very interesting survey of Italian music, as you said earlier. Now, very exciting, coming up next month, the release of the recording that you made last May, Messiaen's Turangalila Symphony. How was the process of performing and recording that, if you can think back to last May?
Very, 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 very intense. I remember very well having a first sectional rehearsal. The first day we had only strings and then only winds, brass and percussion, and then meeting the soloist. And it's kind of when you start overwhelming, you realize this is a gigantic piece, but the orchestra was incredibly motivated. I was very impressed of their preparation. And actually now in the last months, having listened to the different edits of the recording preparing the release, it feels like if it didn't happen. I mean, like if it happened in a dream, because it was few days, so intense and so good, almost non-real, and made me feel those days after we had the last concert, I was over the moon for several weeks of how proud I felt of what we had achieved together. I mean, we had a good first concert, but the second concert was extraordinary, not only in the technical aspects were there, it's very demanding, many rhythmical parts, but some very intimate, fragile sections, some extremely joyous and extremely rhythmical, where everyone has to be connected from the large percussion section to the front of the stage. So many people involved will have to be connected in all senses, also just rhythmically and ensemble-wise and energetically. And I was really very impressed. And like I said, for a good number of weeks, I was over the moon and not believing what we actually achieved together. That teaches us what we actually can do together. And I think it's giving us lot of motivation at the Toronto Symphony Orchestra to realize how great can be the results when we are all with a common purpose making music together. It's very, makes us feel proud, and I can't wait for this release of Messiaen's Durangalila.
Well, that almost answers the next question that I was going to ask, but maybe you have something to add to why is it important for an orchestra to record challenging pieces like this one that are not so frequently heard?
Well, one has to wonder what can we bring into the industry? What has been done? Is there something which relates to us historically to this moment? For us, made more sense more than recording a Bruckner symphony or a Brahms, which the orchestra could play wonderfully. But this relates to our history. It was a historic recording with Seiji Ozawa. The orchestra is in a very good moment now. I believe that we can, by revisiting this piece nowadays with the great musicians we have, to bring it even farther, to bring a different vision of the piece. And was at the 100th of the TSO was an opportunity to look back at the history, but also to tell the world and the music of the world who we are, what we can do, what has been part of the history, so highlighting our previous recording. But I think also bringing it to a level of performance, which I think is extraordinary, and also having this collaboration with the French label Harmonia Mundi also puts us in a different place, also I think in Europe for the perception, as our CD is going to get to many countries by having this French label. Is going to be the distance between what we do here in North America and Europe, I think, is going to be closer by this partnership, which I'm excited about. When we wonder what's going to be our first recording, I must say it was a pretty obvious decision for us. It just made so much sense. And those pieces are extremely virtuosic, but also as an orchestra, and all sections are so featured. In a way, I find, especially at these still early stages of our collaboration, it's a good moment to just present ourselves to the world. That's it. So for a number of reasons, made sense to me and to us.
You mentioned the recording that the TSO made, you know, back in the 1960s with Seiji Ozawa. What is the legacy of that recording?
Interesting. The two anecdotes. One is, I was reading about Messiaen, and there was an interview, and he was commenting on Seiji Ozawa. He said, "Is the ideal conductor for my music." Well, of course, I knew they knew each other, but I didn't expect such a statement. which gives you an idea of how important their collaboration, their friendship, and that recording in Toronto, how important it was at the time. But he said, it's just that man is so expressive from toes to his hair. He's all the time communicating something. That suits my music. So that gave us some, again, some responsibility, but great motivation. That's part of our history. And we actually think it's a great recording, has a special vibe. But actually, I think we can also do something great and current by recording it now. And the other anecdote I wanted to relate to, a few weeks ago I was with conductor Ricardo Chailly, who is the music director of La Scala in Milano. And it's interesting that we were commenting about Toronto. He told me, yeah, I conducted the orchestra one time. Good orchestra, very good orchestra. It was still at the Massey Hall, he told me. I was quite surprised that he remembered so well. It was so fresh in his memory. And I thought it was very interesting that I was telling what we have been doing lately and that we were going to release this Turangalila, and I told him, and we actually played basically live, that was recording. He said, Mamma mia, that's really so hard, this music. And he said, the orchestra did extraordinary. And he said, you know what? Very good idea. Because there is, of course, the historic recording with Seiji Ozawa. I was shocked that he remembered that there was a historic. So obviously, as a young conductor, Ricardo Chailly, and studying at a certain point, listening to Turangalila, he knew there is this recording, Seiji Ozawa, with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Made me feel very proud to realize that some great colleagues of different generations, like Ricardo Chailly, had so fresh in his mind that one recording. So you realize even more than ever was clear for me that, yes, that's something we are proud of. And obviously, one of the important music directors of the history was Seiji Ozawa. So it's good to look back and to feel that there have been historic people and moments in our history.
Well, it's an amazing achievement that you and the TSO have accomplished through this recording. We very much look forward to hearing it in its entirety, and wonderful to hear about the magic behind those performances.
Yes, I mean, I can't wait to share it. I mean, like, share it that everyone can listen to our recording, because I'm very, very proud and very happy and very impressed. I must say, the musicians know, and I told them right away, I was incredibly impressed with their performance. They have my full admiration. What they did was incredible, because in the end, I have to be prepared and I have to guide a whole collective in the project, in the process of putting such a piece together. But in the end, they are the ones who are playing. And I was very impressed and full of admiration.
Gustavo Gimeno, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to the second half of the season.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to that.